Shouldn't kids tell their parents about problems at school?
Problems
that happen at school.
At school, what other problems should they tell?
Like, friends' problems, or like them not understanding things and not saying anything about it, so they're like failing in some things.
So, class learning problems?
Yes.
What other problems?
Trouble about them being included in things that they
not being included. Okay.
Or like being in a problem that the kid had no, they haven't been in the problem, they don't know anything about it, but they're blamed for whatever happened.
Okay. People accusing kids. Anything else?
Anger issues.
And what?
Anger issues.
Anger issues. Okay. So, this is a Cozy Womb special. Anya brought this topic to my attention. She was like, maybe you should do a topic on kids feeling left out. And I was like, well, would you want to record that with me? And she was like, yeah. So, this is it. We just coming back from Juicy Crab with a friend of ours. And I was like, before I go lay down and take this nap, we should just record this episode and then you could go about your business in the house and I'll go about mine. So welcome to Cozy Womb Podcast. My name is Shan. I am the mom of the girls. This is one of the girls. This is Anya.
Hi.
And she's in the fifth grade and she wants to talk about things kids should tell their parents regarding problems at school, problems with friends, problems with being accused of things that you're not doing, that you didn't do, not being included in things at school, class learning problems. Maybe you're in a class and you don't understand the work. You know, what should you do? And anger issues, because I think a lot of kids today have anger issues. But I think more than the anger issues, it's not knowing how to emotionally balance yourself to say, is this worth being angry about? Or am I angry that I can't explain myself to people more than the actual little thing that happened that I'm making a problem? So which one you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about friendship problems first.
Okay, what kind of friendship problems?
Not being included.
Not being what?
Included.
Okay. But have you not felt included in something, or you saw somebody that was not included in something?
Yes. I've been people normally some I've been ignored many times or been told to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
By some people that I am really close to. Mm-hmm. As in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me feel sad.
Okay, were you being loud while they told you to be quiet?
I was trying to tell them something that I did, and normally they'll tell me to be quiet or shut up.
Okay, so do you think it's cool for a friend to tell you to shut up while you're talking?
No.
Okay, so then is it on you to pick better people to call your friends?
Yes.
Right.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I think a lot of kids today think people that they like to be around and people that just so happen to be around are their friends. In reality, your friends are the people who make you feel comfortable being yourself, the people who allow you to speak, the people who you allow to speak, and they don't make you feel bad for what you like. They don't make you feel bad for speaking. If somebody is making you feel bad for speaking, or cutting you off or telling you to shut up because they don't want to hear what you're talking about, then that's not your friend.
I know, it's just hard to do that because normally I don't really talk to a lot of people in school because I'm not really around them that much and I don't want to talk really. So the people who I normally talk to, I just talk to them knowing that they would ignore me. So I just try my best to, like, ignore the fact that they're going to ignore me. And I just keep talking as they say that.
So when you do that and people know that you're still going to stick around no matter how bad they treat you or they talk to you, they're going to keep doing it. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So the first thing you do when somebody's mistreating you or making you feel bad is that's it. You create a boundary. It's called a boundary. If you say to yourself, I'm not going to allow anybody to talk to me a certain way or anybody to treat me a certain way, then you don't deal with them. You show them that I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to be around you. And if I have to be by myself until I'm around good people that treat me well, then that's what I'm going to do. You can't know that somebody's going to mistreat you and stick around them because they'll use you. And they'll make you feel like you have to be around so they can use you. Mm. So is this like taking your power back? Okay, you want to ignore me? Cool. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to do nothing with you. I don't have to sit at lunch with you. I don't have to acknowledge you. Because when people see that they can use you, they're going to keep using you. If I had Chick-fil-A breakfast every morning, and I made sure I brought Chick-fil-A breakfast for you, and you never had to pay for it, and you treat me bad, and you talk to me bad, and I keep bringing Chick-fil-A sandwiches, are you going to stop treating me bad? No, because you know I'm going to bring the sandwich regardless. It's the same thing. There's no reason for them to treat you better if you keep sticking around. So, what's the next thing?
Let's talk about being accused.
Okay. Who are you being accused by, or who was somebody being accused by?
In fourth grade, there's been some, like, kids, normally girls, that will go in a group and create drama. And then somebody wrote a note about the teacher, and then everybody started blaming it on me because my handwriting looked the same when it wasn't.
Okay, so what you do when you're being accused of something that you know you did not do, you stick to the fact that you did not do it.
I normally just stay quiet and...
No, because if you stay quiet, it looks like you're guilty. You should say, hey, I didn't write that letter. I didn't write that note. That wasn't me. And I didn't, yes, it was you. It looks like this. Okay, that's your opinion, but I didn't write this. Especially if they didn't see you write it and you leave it like that. You don't cry. You don't yell. You don't fight somebody to prove your point. Most of the time when people are being honest, what they're saying stays the same. They're calm and they speak up for themselves, because people who don't speak up for themselves can get blamed for everything because you're not going to fight against somebody lying on you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to fight against somebody lying on you, not physically, but verbally, and tell your truth, that people are always going to blame you for it because they'd be like, she's not going to say anything. Just blame her for it. They do that with boys and girls. Okay? Next thing.
Anger issues.
Okay. Anger issues like what? What are you being angry about? What is somebody being angry
like,
about?
Like, same thing with being accused. Like, they fight back instead of, like, they'll yell and fight back instead of, like what you said, just proving your point without any violence.
Okay. So, anger issues, that's personal. You can't do anything about somebody being angry. You can protect yourself if somebody's trying to put their hands on you. If somebody's calling you names, then they're calling you names. If you're in a classroom or on a school bus, you let the adult know. But you don't match them by calling them names back. Because then there's two guilty kids. And the easiest way to deal with two guilty kids saying things that they're not supposed to say to each other is to suspend them. And usually today is going to be ISS, which is in-school suspension, where you go to school still, and you sit in a classroom, and you either do a whole bunch of work until the end of the day, or you sit there and you do nothing. You're not allowed to sleep. You're not allowed to get up to do anything. So when somebody's bothering you, when you feel upset about something, you have to think about, okay, if I do this, what is going to happen? If I say this, what is going to happen?
I think of that too, but sometimes I don't follow it.
Well, you have to follow it. It's called self-discipline. Everybody needs self-discipline, not just kids. Grown-ups too. I have to have self-discipline every time I get paid and say, okay, I got money. Do I want to spend this money on all the things I want? Or do I want to spend this money on the things that I need to do and then have a little bit left over for something that I may want? It's self-discipline. It's knowing when to react and how to react. And a lot of times people get a lot of money and they lose the same amount of money they got because they don't have no self-discipline of how to keep it or how to spend it. So a lot of people that become lottery winners, they get all that money and they waste it. And then they become
things they want instead of what they need.
And they spend it on people who don't care about them, but just want to be around them for their money. And then next year, they ain't got no money. Next year, they got to get rid of that house that they bought with that money because they can't maintain the bills for it. So self-discipline is in, like, you could be in a room full of candy and you already had candy and somebody says, don't touch it. Self-discipline is that person's allowed to walk out the room, you don't touch it. You don't take advantage of the fact that they're not around, I'm going to do this. That's self-discipline too. And the more self-discipline you have, the more you'll be trusted by other people, the more opportunities you'll have. But if people feel like you don't have enough self-discipline to do the right thing, they're not going to give you an opportunity to do other things that may be bigger or more fun. So you have to have self-discipline. Even borrowing things. Like if I see a friend that always takes care of their stuff and they see me with a bag or they see me with a jacket and be like, hey, can I borrow your jacket to go to this place, such and such, and I'll give it back? It's a gamble for you to give out your things to somebody, but you also have to be prepared not to get that back. You also have to be prepared if they mess it up. So if you can't give somebody something to use or to hold and not risk not getting it back the same way you gave it, then don't do it. A lot of friendships sometimes are ruined by them borrowing money. You know, I need $50. Do you have $50? I give it back to you Friday. Friday come, they don't give them the money. Then you end up chasing down somebody to give you the money. Then they just keep pushing you off. Oh, I'm going to get it next week. Oh, I got this coming out. I promise you I'm going to get it. They promise, they promise, promise, they don't.
Yeah.
So my thing is, like, don't give out money if you're going to be mad if you can't get it back.
Yeah, there's a girl in my class that is like that. But when, like, with things that you own and she doesn't really ask for it. She, like, tries to take it without you looking.
Right. She's not trustworthy.
And then when you realize it, she'll, like, oh, I'll give it back. And then she never does.
And that's why I'm very, like, no, you can't take your backpack, your extra backpack purse to school, because if you're not going to keep it with you all the time, then you're going to risk somebody going in there taking something that's yours and you not getting it back. Because the school can't do nothing about somebody going in your bag and taking something and you not getting it back. I can't do nothing about it. I can't go up there and go into a kid's pocket or backpack and figure I can do nothing. So the best way a lot of times to keep the things that you have is to keep it home, unless it's something you need for school. Same thing with putting things in your desk. Don't put nothing in your desk that you may lose. You did it with your earrings. So now you just have one earring that I pay for that you really can't do nothing with. And what does that tell me? That tells me Anya's not ready for having real earrings. I can't buy her real earrings. And that would be the fourth set of earrings that you lose. So you just have to make better decisions. What's the next thing?
Class problems.
Class problems like what?
In education.
As in what?
Like, they're not understanding and not saying anything about it. So they just, like, fail everything.
So what's the problem? Why won't they say something about not understanding something? That's the best place to not understand and ask questions.
Maybe they feel embarrassed about not knowing the standards.
Okay, so what's the next option if somebody feels embarrassed?
Maybe they can talk to the teacher in private when nobody's there, so it's only between the kid and the teacher.
Yeah, you could do that. You can write a note and give to the teacher. Hey, I don't feel comfortable asking certain questions while you're teaching because I feel like I'm holding up the class. Can you help me with problems like these and give an example of a problem you don't understand? And if there's a process in a problem, you say, I understand how you got this number. I understand this step, but this is the step that I don't understand. Why do we have to do this in order to go to the next step? I don't understand it. I don't understand how you're getting this answer. Honestly, I'll say this. Not every teacher can teach what they know. Yeah. And sometimes you might end up with a teacher that knows how to do something, but they don't know how to teach someone how to do something. I had a horrible English teacher in college. I had a horrible chemistry teacher. And it's not because they were a horrible person. They just didn't know how to teach it. They just knew it, but I can't teach it. Like for me, I know art. I know how to draw, but I can't teach art.
I can teach art.
But I'm just saying for me personally, that's something I know I can't teach. So it wouldn't make sense for me to become a teacher because I get frustrated on people not catching up to what I already know. I don't know how to have patience in the process of getting somebody on the level that I am with art. So a lot of teachers sometimes take a teaching job because that's what they know how to do. Or they just need to pay their bills. Or they went to school to become a teacher, so this is just their job. Some teachers love teaching. Some teachers, you come to them and you don't understand something, they're going to keep helping you until you understand. And they're going to talk to your parents and be like, hey, I see Anya's, you know, struggling with this. Here's some practice worksheets. You might want to help her with this. Or, you know, they're very preventative. So they know, like, there's going to be a test coming up in 3 weeks. I'm seeing her struggle here. These are the things you need to work on. Some teachers are like that. Me personally, I'm prepared for y'all to have teachers that love to teach. I'm prepared for y'all to have teachers that don't want to teach. And I'm prepared for y'all to have teachers that just like, oh, okay, you did it. All right, whatever. And they don't check it. Yeah. Right? So that's why when I say, did y'all do your homework? And you say, yes, I want to see it. And that's why I want to know how you got your answer. Because for me, we had textbooks. We had pages we had to do for homework. And because I didn't understand certain math work, and the back of that textbook was the answers. And a lot of my homework, I would just write the answers, but I couldn't explain to you how that answer got there. The reason why I tell you that's not a help is because when you have a test, there is no answer.
Yeah, you don't basically remember the steps and what you
Because got. I never practiced the steps. Homework is the practice.
Yeah.
Classwork is the practice. Classwork is the time for you to access the teacher to ask for help. Now, if you ask your teacher for help and your teacher shoos you away or says, no, do it yourself, then that's when you talk to me. And then I can talk to your teacher about why you're not teaching in the classroom, right? But if you don't say anything to me, if you don't say anything to the teacher, when those grades come at the end of that quarter, that's on you. Now you created a problem for yourself. Because if the whole semester you've been quiet, you haven't asked the teacher for help, you haven't came to me and said you're struggling in something, you didn't ask me for help, then when you don't get the grades that I'm expecting, then that's a problem for you. Same thing with Ari, but Ari's just not at an age where she's struggling in something yet. Mm-hmm. For me, math has always been a problem since the fourth grade for me. Fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade problem. Especially algebra.
Hey guys, thank you so much for checking out this podcast. This is one of many podcasts that I do. So when you support this podcast, you are supporting options that I can do with the other shows. If you're not aware, I have Cozy Moon Podcasts. I have Creator Podcasts. Loudmouth Stereo was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. She Gets It Pod was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. So What Pays Me on Bit is a book club podcast. We have The Real Relationship Report that I do with Dungeon on Stereo app bi-weekly. And then there is the one and only Wear It Right with Shan, which is my podcast where I talk about fashion and style. So when you support one, you support all. If you would like to donate to any of these shows, you can. The link is in the show notes, and I do appreciate it. It does give me other opportunities to do other things. And also, please support the website. Visit often, because there's a blog on there called Thick Grits and Pods, where I upload my thoughts and things that help podcasters and creators in just keeping us where we need to be in our minds and in life. ShambiPodden.com is the website. You can also find all of my books on that website and all of the shops to go ahead and purchase merch if you like wearing what you support. And I appreciate you. Now back to the show.
Geometry was okay. High school, grandma got me a tutor. Did that tutor help? No. But grandma never made me feel like, oh, you don't know it? I don't care. She did whatever she could to get me help to understand the work. My thing is, a lot of schools, when I was going to school, they only taught math one way. Now that I'm an adult, I can go on the internet and I can see there's multiple different ways to teach math.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, in a classroom of like 24 or 30 kids, every kid in there is not going to learn math the way somebody's teaching it. They're not going to comprehend literature the way a teacher is teaching it. Sometimes you're going to have to ask questions to figure out a different way of learning something. Everybody's brain works differently. But you shouldn't feel bad because you have questions. You're supposed to have questions. Did you repeat the fifth grade? So you should have questions. Now, if you repeated the first fifth grade and this is your second time in the classroom, I would expect less questions from a student that repeated the fifth grade. But this is everybody's first time in the fifth grade. Ask your questions. Don't feel bad about not asking the question. And if the teacher says, does everybody understand? That's your time to be like, no, I don't understand that. But if you feel pressure that the whole class wants to be done with this so they can talk or chill until the next class, then that's where you get up when the teacher's done teaching. You go to her desk and say, hey, I didn't understand this, but I didn't want everybody to wait for me to understand something because it was going to make me feel bad. But you got to be honest. It's about being honest in the classroom.
Yeah. My teacher would, like, she, after she teach the lesson, she would tell, she would have, like, this poster. And it'll say 1, 2, 3, or 4. And 1 means, like, I don't really understand. And then 2 would be, like, I kind of get it. And then 3 would be, like, I understand all the way. And then 4 would be, like, I can teach this.
Okay.
And so after the lesson, she would make you write the number on the back of your paper.
Mm-hmm.
And she will walk around the classroom and she knows what your number is.
Mm-hmm.
Based on how you participated and how you answer the questions right. And so she'll based on your number, she mm-hmm. will take you into a small group
mm-hmm.
where there's like an order. So when group 1 would be like the people that don't really understand
mm-hmm.
and like their number is like 1 or 2
mm-hmm.
and then so on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what she does.
Does that help?
Yes. Normally in math, our tests are good,
mm-hmm.
but in reading and like social studies, some of the kids don't really get the questions
because
mm-hmm. normally the printout or online printing will like repeat the same questions, so it'll be a different answer each time, and that's how they mess up.
Okay.
So I think small groups is like a better way of teaching privately to other kids
mm-hmm.
without being embarrassed.
I mean, for sure, but at the same time, you have to be realistic about your classroom. You have a classroom of about 20 kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have a few minutes, you know, to teach each subject. So you got to pay attention. And if there's something you don't understand, you have to be honest about what you don't understand in it and let the teacher know. If the teacher doesn't have time, you write it down on a piece of paper, you bring it home, and you let me know. But I can't help what you don't tell me. Teacher can't help what you don't say. But you have to make time for it. Because when you come home, yeah, I'm still working, but at least I'll know, like, okay, I need to help Anya on this, or I need to help Ari on this. But you can't get caught up into, okay, I'll just try to get it tomorrow. I'll just try to get it tomorrow. You have 5 days of school every week. If you keep putting it off, you're going to get to a point where you're going to be tested on something you do not know for the last 3 weeks.
And that problem normally develops by kids not paying attention and being focused on something else instead of what the teacher is teaching. So when they get the test, they don't understand anything and they normally like get a low grade or fail.
That and the fact that a lot of these schools are passing kids that really should do that grade again.
Yes.
So I'm sure there's a lot of kids in your class that cannot read on the level they need to read on. And if you cannot read on the level that you need to read on, then when you read a test question, you're going to get it wrong because you do not understand the question that's being asked.
Yes.
So what's the next problem?
Really nothing else. I don't know.
No other problems?
Them bringing, like, when kids, like, bring little fidgets that, like, have calculators on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, something like that. Because normally companies, like, make little toys
mm-hmm.
that have, like, a toy on the back and a calculator inside of the toy.
Okay.
And that's how, like, cheat in the test. And then after the teacher is done with the test, and then you have to do a review on the next unit for another test, you won't get it. Because what if you don't have your calculator?
This is the thing about cheating. If you use a calculator to get your answer, you're just cheating yourself. And this is the thing about every grade. You go through first grade, Cool. That's the basics. You go through second grade, they're going to add more basics on, but they're going to use the basics that first grade had. You go to third grade, they're going to add some new stuff, and you're going to use the basics of that. If you keep going up in a grade and you're refusing to learn the basics, then it's just going to get more complicated and more complicated as you get older and as you have to do math, and there will be rooms where it's just a desk and a piece of paper. So the reason why I say you cheat yourself when you use a calculator or if somebody gives you the answers is because you're now saying to your brain, you can't help me. I need something outside of myself to help me. But the real thing is you can train your brain to help you for what's on that paper. But you have to spend the time to train your brain to help you for what's on that paper. You using something outside yourself to get an answer is just going to cheat yourself.
Yeah, you won't get it as you move on into
the brain. Right. And you can cheat yourself all the way up to high school. You can cheat yourself in college. And cheating yourself costs you more money. Costs you more money if you're trying to pay somebody to do something for you. Costs you more money if you're trying to pay somebody to write a paper for you. Costs you more money when it comes to jobs because there's going to be certain jobs you can't get because you don't know the basics. You can't work a register if you don't know the basics.
Yeah.
You can't be in nobody's account like I do for work if you don't know the basics. If you don't know how to break down a big number that's in an account to understand why somebody's bill is some way, you can't do that job. And that's why a lot of jobs will say requirement college degree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you, by the time you get a job, you needing to have a college degree probably won't be a thing. But you will still have to know the basics. It's probably going to be worse for you because they're going to have computers that can do your job and your thinking a lot faster.
Yeah, that's a current problem in America where they're firing many people and replacing them with like AI robots.
Yeah, all right. Right. So that's why it's for your generation, it's better if you either know how to work those computer systems. Or you do something that's a trade. A trade is something that you can't use a robot for. Like plumbing. Mm. What Richie does, fixing cars. You still need a human for that. And those jobs, people always need that. People are always going to need a plumber. People are always going to need somebody to fix their car. People are always going to need somebody to do their lawn work. Construction jobs. So that's why those jobs pay a lot of money and you get to dictate how much money you can make by the jobs you take. You get to say what time you're going to come to work. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a mechanic and you work at a company that said you have to be here at 9 o'clock. If you know a trade, you can work for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So you get to choose what you want to do as far as work, and you're going to have to make better decisions based upon what you're learning in school now. You know what I'm saying? If in your mind you want to work for yourself, what are you going to do for people that people are going to need?
Yeah.
Because let's say, for instance, you get to a point and you like doing hair. Doing hair is cool. People do need their hair done, but people don't always have the money to get their hair done. Yeah. But what do people have more than hair is important. Cars. People don't need to get a car fixed to get to work. So you just have to figure out what your want is to do, what money does it make, what kind of life you're trying to live, and do people need it? Right? The job that I do, eventually I feel like a computer could do it. It's not something I necessarily need to do. But I think, again, a lot of jobs are choosing machines over people because they don't have to have empathy. I don't have to care about your body hurting if you're a machine. I don't have to care about you needing to take off because your daughter or your son is sick if you're a machine. I don't have to care about making sure this machine can go get their teeth cleaned with health insurance. You know what I'm saying? So it's these robots and these machines are just a way for companies and company owners to stay rich. Yes. Because you only got to buy it once, maintain it, and update it like a computer. And you don't have to really care about human needs. And the more I think we develop as a nation worldwide and we put more emphasis on computers and less on people, it's just going to make people angrier. It's going to make people more frustrated. There's going to be more people stealing to get what they need because there are no jobs. And it's going to make people more rude because everybody thinks their personal needs is more important than the next person. Yes. But it can also be a good thing where people get back to community. You know, if the neighbors across the street don't have jobs and I don't have a job, but they have things in their house that I may need to use. I have things in my house that I may, we can trade. We can talk. We can help each other. And I think that's more so where things are headed. But it all boils down to your education, you being honest, you asking for help. And that's what y'all need to do in school. And I don't want you or Ari to be scared to tell me what y'all dealing with in school, education-wise, friends, teachers, something on the school bus, somebody at the bus stop, you know? And even in these games that y'all play, you know, last week on Roblox, some AI robot convinced some boy to take his life. Yes. And he did, you know? And I think a lot of kids may have access to games, a smartphone, but mentally they're not ready to have that much access. If you can't be on a phone, be on a device, or be on a game, and something on the game says you should do this, you should drink this, you should take this, and harm yourself, and you can't say, blocked, delete, I'm not doing that, and you follow it, then you are not mentally mature to have those things.
Yes.
So it's not that I don't want you and Ari to have fun or be included in what other kids have. It's a lot of things on those devices that purposely go where kids are that are easily influenced for them to do things they're not prepared for. And y'all just on the game to do game stuff. Yes. But there's people that come on the game that are grown adults that pop up at people's homes because they hack in there to try to see where you're at according to the numbers in the game. You don't know that. And you think you're talking to a kid for the last few months and it's a grown old man looking for kids to pick up. Or it's a lady looking for kids to pick up. And there are teachers that harm kids, men and women. Mm-hmm. There are principals that harm kids, men and women. So that's why I tell you, with people, people are just people. Their titles come after. Even with your family. I'm your mom, but I'm a woman. I'm a person, and I'm imperfect. You know what I'm saying? My brothers are your uncles, but they're people. They're imperfect. So it doesn't mean they can't do things that are wrong. And they can do things that are right, but it's a choice. So I don't want you to think just because somebody's my friend or somebody's my brother or somebody's, you know, my mom or your grandma, they can't do nothing wrong or they won't do anything wrong to you. It's always a possibility.
Yes, most kids think that too. They think that just because it's their like mom or dad's friend, then their dad or mom can control what their friends or family do.
No. Every time I have to do something and I have one of my friends watch you guys, I take a risk. I take a risk on what could happen. If they drive somewhere with you, if they don't do something right, I take that risk. Every time our dad picks her up and leaves here, I take a risk. Because I have to trust him that he's going to do the right thing if anything happens. I have to trust him that whoever he leaves Ari with, that he trusts him to do the right thing. So a lot of times when I have to go places I have to say to myself, is it worth the risk? Is it worth me trying to find somebody to keep you guys until I come back from where I'm going? Mm-hmm. So for me, my time is way more intentional that I give people and I go places because I always have to think of you guys. That's why being a mom is very exhausting, because even when I'm not with you guys, I have to think about you guys. I have to think about what you guys need when I'm gone, what you guys need while I'm away, and what you guys need when I come back. There's no pause on that. So when you're in school, I don't want you to feel like you can't ask questions to your teacher. I don't want you to feel like somebody is constantly going to be bothering you when you're trying to learn. I don't want you to feel like you have to be around people who treat you bad, because you don't. You don't have to be friends with anybody that you don't want to be friends with. And nobody that treats you bad or talks to you bad or tells you to shut up or tells you that's stupid what you like, stop calling them your friends. They could just be a girl in class. That's a girl in my math class. That's a girl in my English class. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I ride the bus with that girl. That's not my friend, though. Mm. And you don't have to be nasty to people because they're nasty to you. Right? Because a lot of times when kids are mean and kids say rude things, they're looking for a reaction. If you don't give people a reaction, they feel stupid.
But if you like keep giving them a reaction, they're going to call more people over to like either
join them.
Yes.
Or make them feel good about what they're doing.
Yeah, like recording or like laughing.
That's life. That's life. And that's when you get up and you walk away. And if you can't walk away, then you speak to whatever adult is in the room. Okay? To me, and I want you to feel like this either, I want to make you to feel like if you're standing up for yourself, you're a tattletale or a snitch. To me, a tattletale is someone who's telling someone else about something that's not wrong. Nobody's getting hurt. Nothing bad is happening, and it has nothing to do with them. You just see something and you want to tell. That's a tattletale. But if you see something going on and it's wrong, someone's getting hurt, or somebody's getting something taken away from them that doesn't belong to the person that's taking it, you're doing the right thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you or Ari to be one of those kids where somebody's getting picked on, somebody's being teased, somebody's being embarrassed, and it's a repeated thing, and you see it and you don't say something. You need to say something. Now, if you don't want to say something in front of the kids that are doing it and you want to let an adult know after the kids leave, then you do that. But you don't stand there and watch. You don't stand there and record on a device. Okay? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think school problems are always going to be there, but now it's kind of hard because people have cell phones and the internet is forever, meaning anything you put on the internet, even if you delete it, somebody has it recorded. People screen record so they can keep stuff that people might delete.
Yes.
So just don't do anything that you wouldn't want coming up later. And cyberbullying is a thing. On any device where you make somebody feel bad or you say something about somebody, it can be used against you. Mm-hmm. So that's why I tell you to watch your mouth on devices. Don't group together and be mean to a person, because that's bullying. And a lot of schools are starting to kick kids out for that, suspend kids for that, and press charges on their parents for that. So you just have to be mindful of what you do and what you say. But yeah, anything else?
Last one. Whether is this your friend or is this a person that you interact with?
What do you mean?
Like, you have to see or determine if this is like a person that you trust and you can depend on with your stuff. And you could call them your friend, or is it a person that you talk to and you're not yet trusting them and you can't really call them your friend right now?
So that's an associate. So like when I go to the office, I sit around people I know by face, but I don't know them. Like I couldn't tell you their name. I couldn't tell you what they do when they get off of work. I couldn't tell you where they live. I don't know their birthdays. I just know when I go to the office, I might see these people. Those are my associates. So when you go to school, there's people in your class that are not your friends, but you know them because that's the girl from my class. That's the boy from my class. Oh, he sits at lunch over there, or she sits at lunch over there, or that's the girl that rides my bus. A friend is somebody that you learn about.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Every day, something you're learning about them every day. Oh, they always wear that color. That's their favorite color. Their birthday is this. You know, they live here. They have a brother or sister. Their mom or their dad does this. They wear glasses, or they don't wear glasses, or they have allergies. I like this and they like that too. Or they hate peanut butter. You know, you learn things about people. If you don't know certain facts about people, then there's no way that they could be your friend.
Yeah. And this new girl, I let her have one of my things that I had like an extra for, and she was like, oh, that's my best friend now.
Because a lot of kids are still learning what a friend is. So that's another thing too, with kids your age, you can't take what they say as being something true. Yeah. Because the same kid that says, oh, you're my best friend, they might hate you next week. And you got to be prepared for somebody to hate you next week. Yes. Right? And some kids might not like you because there's something that you do that they wish they could do and they can't. Or there's something that you have that they wish they had and they don't have it. But they're going to lie and say, oh, they don't like you because of something else.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's just something you got to be prepared for. Anything else? Any advice? Any advice for kids who don't want to talk to their parents?
Tell your parents before it becomes like a actual problem, before it's too late and it can't be dealt with.
Okay. Is there any advice for parents if they want to know what problems their kids are having but their kids won't talk to them, what they should do?
Maybe like in a good time where you're in a good mood and they're in a good mood and it's like quiet and nobody's around, maybe ask them for like if they're dealing with any problems at school or something they're holding secret.
What if they say nothing, but you know something is wrong? Should you keep asking or should you leave them alone?
You should keep asking at different times until they like feel like, yes, I should tell my mom or dad this.
Okay, are we done?
Yes.
All right, y'all. Hope you do something great with that information. My name is Shan. This is Cozy One Podcast. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I'm going to go catch up on my shows in my bed and relax. Please check out shandypodden.com. I will be back with another episode very soon. I appreciate you guys for sticking in there with me. And if you want to support this podcast, you could go to the Cozy Womb shop, buy some merch. There's some hoodies on there, some sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, because it is a good coffee season, even though it's like 80 degrees outside in Georgia in November. No, it's not November, it's October still.
Yeah.
We got one more week. It's almost November. Why is it 80 degrees? Anyway, yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for checking out the pod. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. What I wanna break ya.